And I just continue to pray that as we share in the Word today, that the Lord will continue to reveal to all of us how worthy the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is. And I think it's from the prophecies that came forth this morning, I think it is most appropriate that we begin this new year taking communion together. It's most appropriate. And the prophecy, all things made new. Hallelujah. Jesus does that. He's in the business of making all things new in our life, changing things. We don't have to be tomorrow the same people we are today by the power of the resurrection, Jesus Christ living in us. Hallelujah. We serve a risen Savior, and we've been raised with the Lord to serve Him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me share with you, just to prepare our hearts from the Word of God as we look forward to taking communion together. I want to begin in Luke chapter 22. If you have your Bibles, you might want to follow along. Luke chapter 22, verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was approaching. And jump down to verse 7. Then came the first day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. The Passover lamb had to be sacrificed that we might, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Leviticus 17:11. The sacrifice, the lamb had to be sacrificed for us. And that's what we're going to participate in this morning. The communion meal, the blood of Jesus Christ sacrificed for us. Verse 8. And Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us so that we may eat it." The Passover meal was an annual celebration for Israel, for them to look back and remember how the Lord delivered them out of the slavery and bondage to the Egyptians and set them free. Every year He wanted them to look back. And Jesus says to us concerning the communion meal, "Do this in remembrance of Me." We're to look back at the Lord Jesus Christ and remember, focus upon what He did when He redeemed us by His shed blood. The Passover meal is a celebration. Let's go back and look at that in Exodus chapter 12. It is a teaching type for us today. Exodus chapter 12, verse 2. Now let's begin with verse 1. Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is the first month of the year to you." What month is this? Hallelujah. It is most appropriate that we are sharing communion today, celebrating the Passover, celebrating what the Lord has done for us through His death, burial, and resurrection. It is the first month of the year to us. By the way, I look at it also this way. When you received Jesus Christ, that was the day you were made alive. As Ephesians says, we were dead in our trespasses and sin, but He, according to His great love with which He loved us, made us alive in Christ. By grace we have been saved. That day when you received Jesus Christ was the first day you were truly made alive. Amen? That makes me 38 years old. That's good. So yeah, all things made new. New beginnings. How old are you? Do you remember that day when you were made alive? That was the first month for you when you received, believed in Jesus Christ, and the blood of the Lamb was applied for you. Verse 3, "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying on the 10th of the month, they are each one to take a lamb for themselves according to their father's households, a lamb for each household." It's interesting in looking at this verse. It says they are each one to take a lamb. It is very personal. It is very individual. Each one, each individual, each one of us must take the Lamb of God personally to ourselves for that born-again experience. But He goes on, and then He makes it a family thing, according to your father's household, a lamb for each household. Our Heavenly Father provided the lamb for His household. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Our Heavenly Father provided the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, for us. Verse 5, your lamb shall be unblemished, a male. You may take it from the sheep or of the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel, they had to kill the lamb. Beloved, it was our sin that killed the lamb. It was our sin that crucified the Son of God, Jesus Christ. It had to be done. The Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jump to verse 13, Exodus chapter 12. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. The blood shall be a sign for you on the house where you live. When you believed and received Jesus Christ, you also received and applied His blood to this house where you live. Amen. And the verse goes on, and the Lord says, when I see the blood, when I see the blood on the house where you live, when I see the blood, no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. He hovers over us. It is a Passover meal. When I see the blood, he says, verse 23, he says, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptian, but when he sees the blood on the lintel and doorpost, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into you. He cannot touch you to destroy you. He passes over. The word literally means hover over. Psalm 91 is a great promise and speaks to us of that. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a protection. The Lord God Almighty is faithful to the blood covenant which we have entered into by receiving that blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. He is faithful to protect us. Regardless of what we do, when we dishonor our covenant with Him, He is still faithful to the covenant that He made with us. He will not change His mind. Never. It says, under His wings you may seek refuge. He will cover you with His feathers. This verse always reminds me of way back there some few years ago when our daughter Rachel was about 6 or 7 years of old age. Katie went in to pray with her, and she was praying, and she said, Jesus, thank you for your chicken feathers. Katie said, what? She said, you know His chicken feathers. You know when He covers us with His chicken feathers. So it's always been a very special verse to our family that He covers us with His chicken feathers. You've seen a mother hen, haven't you, though? She spreads those wings and those little chicks come running in there, and that means she'll fight anybody. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Where am I? Verse 14 in Exodus 12 says, now this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord. Covenants throughout the Old Testament and throughout biblical history and secular history, covenants were always in that part of the world sealed with a meal. Therefore, the Passover meal, sealed with a meal. Now, when the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, they had a meal together. Jacob and Laban in Genesis 31, I believe, when they were enemies, but when they came to make peace and they came into an agreement of peace, and to seal that agreement of peace, they had a meal together. This is very, very common and well known and has been for centuries way back there with the people and the cultures of the Middle East. Katie and I were in Israel, in Jerusalem, some years ago. We were in a Muslim shop in the old city of Jerusalem. Katie was shopping around, looking at the shop, and I was visiting with this Muslim man. He was very nice, very polite, and we were having a good conversation. He was asking me about all the things that I enjoyed in Israel, and I was telling him how much we were enjoying it. And one of the things that I particularly enjoyed was how delicious the bread is in Israel. Have anybody been there and had some of the bread that is cooked mostly by the Muslim bakeries in these clay ovens and all? It is out of this world. It is wonderful. And I was telling him about this, and unbeknownst to me, he sent his son out and went running down the street, bought some of that hot bread back, brought it in. Oh, it was wonderful. I was so grateful and so pleased that he would do this. He was very polite. He's a very good host. I was eating some of the bread, and I said, tried to get him to take some. Please have some bread. He absolutely refused. In no way would he touch that bread or break that bread in any way, because he knew that if he broke bread, ate bread with me, it was entering into a covenant relationship which gave him a responsibility for me as it did me to him. I had no idea of that at that time. But he absolutely refused, would not break bread. Breaking of bread together is a covenant that we have entered into and will again confirm today of our relationship, covenant relationship, one with another. Derek Prince brings out a very interesting story. He was in Israel, as I understand, in 1948 when Israel received their nationhood, their statehood. And as you know, the Muslim nation, the Arab nations came against, and there was quite a battle going on. And one particular kibbutz way out in the fringes somewhere was totally overwhelmed by the Muslim soldiers and armies, totally destroyed. Most everybody was killed. There were just a few survivors. One of those survivors was a young Jewish girl. The Muslim soldiers set about to assault her. But about as they were just beginning, their commanding officer walked up, and this seems a rather harsh to me, but shot both of those soldiers. Reached into his bag, pulled out some bread, and handed it to that young Jewish girl and said, "Here, eat this, and no one will touch you." She broke bread, covenant with this commanding officer. Beloved, we have a commanding officer. We have a commanding officer that has said, "Here, eat this. This is a covenant with you. The enemy will not touch you. I will hover over you to protect you." We have a commanding officer, and sure enough, even though the passions and lust and hatred of that war, no one touched that young lady. She was in covenant with the commanding officer. Awesome. Awesome. Once bread has been broken between that officer and the woman, they were obligated by that sacred covenant symbol to honor one another, not to harm or to abuse her in any way, but to protect her and respect her as if they were protecting the commanding officer. Hallelujah. We are in covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ, our commanding officer in charge. So, what does the covenant meal mean in terms of our relationship to one another? The same thing. It means a unity. It means a oneness. It means a communion, common union. We are one. And it greatly grieves our Father when we dishonor our covenant and strike out against a brother or a sister in any way. it greatly grieves our commanding officer. Because we are in covenant with one another. We are in covenant to protect one another, to provide for one another, to help one another, to stand with one another. Because of this bread which we break today. In fact, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? We share in the blood of Christ. Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of that one bread. We are one. We are in a covenant with one another. And I do not believe that we fully understand the importance of this and how grieving it is for us to ever speak against, tell lies, gossip, slander in any way a brother or sister in the Lord. It is dishonoring of the covenant that we have made with the Lord. We are, in a sense, defiling that covenant, in a sense, breaking that covenant. We need to realize this truth and understand it. Beloved, what about the covenant of marriage? Marriage is a covenant relationship between one man and one woman. The two are one. And in any way should any person ever defile infidelity. How to put all of this in words? You know where I'm going. Any kind of infidelity, any kind of breaking, damaging a covenant relationship of another man or another woman, any person in doing that is so displeasing to the Lord. Because the marriage, man and woman, that covenant is an earthly picture of the covenant and the relationship that the Lord Jesus Christ has with His body, the church. That's why I am convinced Satan is so trying to destroy covenants of every kind, trying to defile marriages and the covenant of oneness between a man and a woman, that we are to protect, provide, stand up and recognize, you know, no matter how, in the passions, as it said, of passions of war and lust and all of that anger, nevertheless, they honored that covenant, and so must we. Yes? Yes. Yes. Yes, in every way. That covenant, that breaking of bread, is a covenant of loyalty, a covenant to protect and defend, and a covenant to never harm. Matter of fact, whenever we speak against or in any slight way or any serious way strike out against another brother or sister, we're striking out against the Lord. We're striking out against Jesus Christ. Remember what the Lord, remember Paul, Saul, before he was on his way to Damascus to again persecute the church of God, the people of God, and the Lord struck him down on the Damascus road. And remember what the Lord said to him, Acts chapter 9, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Was he persecuting the Lord? He thought he was doing the Lord a favor. He was after people that he thought had left the Jewish religion. He thought he was doing something religious and good, but he was breaking the covenant. The Lord said, you're not touching people, you're persecuting me. And we need to remember that anytime we think that before we open our mouth to strike out or in any way harm a brother or sister, that not only are we doing it to them, to that person, but we're striking out against the Lord. Very displeasing in covenant relationship. Go back to Luke chapter 22. The Passover lamb had, verse 7, the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And Jesus sent Peter and John saying, go and prepare the Passover for us so that we may eat it. Verse 14, when the hour had come, he reclined at the table and his apostles with him. And he said, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. The Lord earnestly desires to eat this Passover with us. Verse 16, for I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourself. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. I will not partake with you until the kingdom of God comes." They, on that day, on this day, they were partaking of the Last Supper. We are all looking forward to the next supper, which is called the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus is so looking forward to. And I desire to eat this with you again, but he says he will not do it until the kingdom of God comes in its fullness. Having offered one sacrifice for sin for all time, he sat down at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, waiting until his enemies be made a footstool. Beloved, he is waiting on you and me. He is waiting on us to finish our work. He has finished his work, sat down at the right hand of God, and now he's given the great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Matthew 24:14 says, "It shall be preached in all the world as a witness to every nation," ethnos, ethnic group, "then the end shall come." He is seated in heaven, Hebrews 10 says, waiting on us to finish our work. We have work to do, taking the gospel. Every one of us should be involved in some way of spreading the gospel ourselves and trying to do everything we can to support churches that are involved in mission work, support mission organizations. "It shall be preached in all the world as a witness to all ethnic groups, nations." Asia has more unreached people groups than any other place on the world right now. And mission organizations are focusing there, and great revivals are happening. This church gives very heavily, very strongly to supporting missions around the world. And therefore, it pleases the Lord greatly because he desires to eat this Passover. No, he desires to eat this marriage supper of the Lamb with us. "When he had taken some bread," verse 19, "and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body.'" He took the bread, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Remember Jesus, John 6 said, "I am the bread of life. He who believes in me will never hunger, and he who comes to me will never thirst. I am the bread of life." And he broke it and he gave it to them and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me, what I have done for you in the giving of my body, the breaking of my body, and the shedding of my blood." And in the same way, he took the cup after he had eaten, saying, "This cup is poured out for you is the new covenant, the new testament in my blood." Jesus replaced the old covenant, the old testament Passover, with the new covenant, the new communion covenant meal, which we are about to partake of. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb, as we were singing. Worthy is the Lamb, because he was slain and purchased for God men, women, boys, and girls from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, that they might be made purchased by the blood of the Lamb of God. He is worthy. He is worthy. And this morning we are going to share together in that communion meal. Now, he sent Peter, what do we read here? He sent Peter and James. No, Peter and John to prepare, they said, "Go and prepare the Passover meal for us." Today we are blessed by James and Sharon and their team that have prepared this communion covenant meal for us, if you would come and prepare. And we look forward to this. It's a time of celebration. It is a time of celebrating what Jesus Christ has done for us. While they are doing that, let me read to you concerning out of Revelation chapter 19. "Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come and his bride has made herself ready. And it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are true words of God. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Beloved, you're invited. You're invited to come and partake of this covenant communion meal. And let's reflect on in remembering and ask the Holy Spirit to make it that we would begin to understand covenant as the people of the Middle East that have lived with this sort of covenant for so many years, that it would become real in our life, and that the Holy Spirit anytime would never allow, would always check us and say, stop, wait, before we ever say anything or reach out toward a brother. Realizing that when we take that bread and break it, we're confessing, Jesus, it was my sin that broke your body. And when we take the cup and drink it, that we're receiving, this is my blood, the new covenant shed for you.